ankle thing and working and stuff, and it's fine. But my friends were, there's one thing that this guy said at work that I thought that was kind of crazy. He's like, he's always having these spiritual jokes and stuff, and I don't really know if he follows or not. But I was working and stuff with him, and he goes, "Wow, your leg's really messed up." And I'm like, it'll be fine. And he goes, "Well, who did that?" I go, "Well, why do you think God let that happen?" And I looked at him, and I just kind of cracked up, and I kept working. I go, "You serious?" He goes, "Yeah. Why do you think God let that happen?" I go, "God didn't let that happen." I go, "That stick that was in front of me that I was jogging, I decided to try and battle it, and I lost." I tripped over a stick, and I go, "It wasn't nothing to do with God. I mean, God don't sit there like an ogre and saying, 'Pow, I'm going to hurt you today.'" I go, "We got to watch out what we're doing and watch around us." I think that in today, no matter where you're at, you can see just almost like a low caste on people's eyebrows and their demeanor. Every time they get bills that come in, every time that they get their paychecks and stuff, you can see they're not as excited as they used to be. And I know that I shared this last week, or last time, was about just your belief and how you believe in things and how you going to perceive if it's a victory or a loss. And I think that when I look at it, I can tell that the economy's got a lot of people just boggled down. The words that we hear on television, the complaints about the current administration, the economy's lows and stuff, even the cash for clunker thing didn't go as far as they needed to re- they felt that was going to rebound the market. No matter how low they lower the interest rate, it never seems like it's going to change right away. We're constantly in a constant struggle, and I think people around us have to realize that it's time. This sermon is titled Operation Impact. And the reason I named it Operation Impact was because I seen this article in the newspaper, well, actually on the internet. And when I was going through looking at it, it was an article about Walmart. It was an article about how they felt that it was time to go for the jugular. They felt that it was time to step back and assess what they can do in this current market. They weren't complaining. Of course, they're making lots of funds every day, but they weren't complaining. They're saying right now, we have everybody in the nation and around the world where we want them. We have everybody. We have the people that need stuff. They need it cheap. They need it quality, but they need it at low prices. And then we got the retailers that are out there. We got Toys R Us. We got Best Buy. We got Michaels. We got all these places, Target. We got all these places that they're struggling to get people in their doors. And then they launched a campaign. I don't know if you went by a Walmart recently, but you see how they're painting it and how they're making it different colors inside. And it's all this started 2 years ago. About 2 years ago, they start making changes and trying to make it lighter and brighter and try and make it more accessible to products and stuff. And what they did was they stepped back and they said, now it's time to go for the jugular. They automatically took their entertainment department and made it three times bigger. Once they did that, Circuit City went into bankruptcy. Now they're eyeing Best Buy. They automatically said in this article, and they were very open in saying, we're going for these companies. Right now is the time to take them all down. Right now is the time to make this, we can win this game now. This is the time to win it. And they stepped back and they looked at the arts and crafts, and they see Michael's stock report, and they see Hobby Lobby's stock report, and they're like, you know what, we can get these guys too. So they expanded their arts department and their arts and crafts, and now Michael's is having an even harder time keeping up trying to get people in. They go, we're going to give them Michael's quality, but at Walmart prices. And then so they're struggling to keep their doors open. They said, you know what, one more bad season for Toys R Us, and they're gone. One more bad Christmas season for Toys R Us. Their history. And they went over there, and now they expanded their toy department. And they're giving you the same Toys R Us effect when you walk in through their doors, but with lower prices. And then now they're looking at, they notice what they could do. They notice who they could actually handle and what they can close down and make happen. What they can actually win. They notice the battlefield, and they notice where they could win it and how they could win it. Well, they looked again, and they looked at Target. And they didn't mention Target directly, but you could tell they were talking about, they said, the other retailer out there. And what they said was, we need to get better and they stepped back and they knew they couldn't take out target at this time, but they go, you know what? We need to change our line of clothing because that's where we're losing. He goes, and we need to change our home decor because we can't beat them on that. So they step back and they got into with some other vendors and they're starting to revamp their home decor and their clothing line. But the one thing that Walmart figured out in this recession, instead of taking a negative attitude about it, they took a positive attitude about it and they looked at it like the church should look at it and said, we can win right now. We can win right now. It doesn't matter what's in my pocket. It doesn't matter how much and how beautiful my car or my house is. That doesn't matter. Now, why do I mention those? Because that is what everybody worries about, what they're going to drive to work, what they're going to live in. It doesn't matter what you're wearing. It doesn't matter. Hey, Jeff, John the Baptist can reach him just wearing camel clothing on. We can reach him. He didn't have the prettiest clothes at all. It doesn't matter. In a time of recession, it doesn't matter. I used to go to this church, Calvary Temple. We used to have a whole old pastor. He's like 86, I think. His name was Pastor Tucker. And one thing about Pastor Tucker was I would always come in excited about God and sharing testimonies and stuff. And, you know, I was young, 19, 20-ish. And I look at him, I go, it's time for a revival. And he looked at me, son, and he would give me the biggest hug. I love your spirit. I love your spirit. But to tell you the truth, son, revival's not going to happen until people are hurting. And I looked at him, I go, really? He goes, the greatest revivals that ever have hit this land has been in our hardest times, has been when the people couldn't go to anyone but God. I think right now, when you look at the housing market and you look at everything else that's happening out there, you start to realize the Christians and the secular people, you start to realize who depends on God. You realize that a lot of people have not been putting their trust in God in their finances because you look at the economy. If you were putting your trust in God in the finances, the word recession wouldn't bother you. If you're putting your trust in God and everything that's supposed to happen in your life, and you don't have to worry about anything the government's doing, anything your job's doing, anything your landlord's banging on the door, the mortgage company, if you're putting your complete trust in God, none of that stuff should bother you. One thing that Walmart did that we all have to realize is we have to stand up and assess what we can do today. We have to assess who we can reach and who we can impact. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 14, verse 15. We're going to wait right there. This ideas and stuff that come to me, I don't know where they come from, but it's probably the Holy Spirit, and most likely it is, but prayingly. You have to, Matthew 14, you have to be able to realize what you can do. Now, Pastor touched on it this morning. I think most of the time we're hitting on the same spirit, Pastor. we're clocking on it at the same time. And the one thing is this. When I read that report about Walmart trying to take out Toys R Us, and they will. Trust me, they will. And they're going to take out Best Buy. Best Buy's having a hard time this year. That's why they launched a great publicity campaign, which the publicity campaign picked up. And I'm always looking at the business reports. Always, it's just me. I was telling my wife this weekend, it's like, and it's true, and Pastor, you might confirm this, but I look at it and I said, no matter how much I try and get out of business and just do straight ministry, I can't. It's part of my DNA. You know, God has given me an anointing to do business stuff and to work in the business field, but he's also given me an anointing to minister, and I'm combining the two and doing more things. But at the same time, I'm always looking and always seeing what I can perform, where I can do. And you look at the things, and they will. They'll end up taking out Michaels. They'll end up taking out all these places. And they may even go after Target eventually. But the one thing that I like that Walmart did is they recognize the time. And when they put that title on that news caption, and they go, what are you calling this? And the Walmart guy said, this is our campaign. Just like there was Desert Storm, Desert Shield, this is our campaign. And it's called Operation Impact. He goes, we know at this time, at this very minute, Walmart was built for this day. We have the resources, we have the talent, we have the people that know how to get this done. And we're going to take every opportunity to make this happen. It sounds like a determined board. It sounds like a determined vice president and president of a company. And it's amazing because they made big changes. But they started to plan. How many of us know that if we don't plan, nothing's going to get done? There's this thing, I call it the 3 points. You pray, you plan, and you perform. You pray, you plan, and you perform. Pray about it, get it in you. After you feel the revelation, after you feel God's anointing in you, and you know that this is what God's telling you to do, you start planning it. Write it out. See what's feasible. See what you can do. How much of the point that you can make out of it? How much can you bring this into reality? And then start performing your plan. And then the only thing you can do, and it's the only thing we can do, is we got to just trust God. The Bible says in the Word of God, of course, that everything will be tried by fire. Every man's work will be tried by fire. If it comes out of fire like gold, it's fine. It is fine. But if it gets consumed like the weeds or the hay or anything like that, if it burns up like that, then it wasn't from God. So you could just, that's why I say pray, plan, and perform. Now everybody in the recession that's out there, or people are believing if there's a recession, I learned one thing, and I noticed one thing if you watch television, you watch the news, it's like, you know those offers they give? Okay, was it Oprah Winfrey and KFC partnered about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, when everybody just started this recession? They partnered to give a free chicken meal to everybody that came in. I don't know how many pieces you got or whatever, but they partnered on her show. They partnered. Well, they weren't expecting the impact. They weren't expecting the impact, but they touched a nerve. And, you know, but before Oprah did it, Denny's did it. Denny's during the Super Bowl last year or a year before last, they said, everyone that goes to a Denny's on this date will get a free Grand Slam. And everybody went there, and people were lined up outside of Disney Denny's, and you're looking at them like, it's a $5.99 meal. I'm like, I got more things to do with my hour than wait for a $5.99 meal. And I would pass by that, and I'm like, I'm not going there. My brother called, and my sister called me. I'm like, it's a $5.99 meal. It's $5.99 that I ain't got to earn. I'm like, okay, well, that's an idea to look at it, but you're spending an hour there. The most thing I value is my time. Because money can be replaced. Amen? Money can be replaced, but when you waste your time, you'll never get that minute back. Never, ever, 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 ever. And you're always, if you procrastinate, you'll always be behind. And if you're always going to be behind, you're never going to finish. Or you're going to finish very tired and very worn. So you got to not procrastinate. And I think that's the biggest thing, if anything you get out of this message, is don't waste time. It's okay. You have bad days and days you can't do anything. Trust me, after my knee injury, I realized that. But when I was hurt, my ankle injury, I had my laptop and I was icing it, and I'm on my laptop. I built 3 or 4 websites. I got pastor's stuff done for his books. Amen. We'll be getting them published hopefully within the next 2 weeks. We'll be finished up for him. And it's just, you know, you take the times that you have. So when you look at all those people out there in front of Denny's, and then Oprah did it, and then the KFC, notice how great the impact was, that they were out of chicken. I don't think that company ever ran out of chicken, but they ran out of chicken. And because they had to service the people that were getting their free piece of chicken, but then they had to service the regular clientele, and they didn't have anything left. And they're like, man, Oprah got a hold of something. People like free meals. And then they went over there, and they decided to launch their, at that same time, right after that, they launched their next campaign, which was the grilled chicken, the new grilled chicken from KFC. Go get a free piece. And there goes the lines again. For $1.99 piece of chicken, people are standing there for hours. I'm like, okay, is it the chicken? Does it taste that good? And that's what they want you to think. They want you to come in, and why is everybody coming over here? I mean, it made people that drove by, and it was the best advertising, people that just driving by that didn't know of the thing, is, man, their chicken must be good today because they're all standing around in lines. And then, okay, Taco Bell jumped into it, gave you a free, was it burrito or something like that. And then I think the latest one, this of course, is Chick-fil-A. And I found that out from my mom. She goes, she's calling me and said, did you get your free Chick-fil-A today? I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And they're out there standing an hour before they start giving at between 5 and 6 on a Thursday for $2, I guess it's a $2 sandwich from Chick-fil-A. And I realized that people, during the economic times, they panic. And one thing they don't have, and it's something for us to pray about as a church and think about it, is usually the hardest thing on a family and if you don't have a lot of kids like me, you'll understand. But the hardest thing in a family is getting together a dinner or getting together a meal for them, and when you don't have anything to put together. There's a lot of whizzes out there that know how to put things together. I can. It's not a problem. But I look at other people just don't know how to put, I go, okay, they put that and that together, you got a meal, child. And a lot of them don't realize that. But it gets like that. When you look around and people are, it's hard when you don't have food on the table. And I think these people that hit these things, you don't know anyone's situation when they're standing in front of KFC. I mean, it's like, I totally think it's crazy, but hey, maybe that is their only meal that they can get for that week. Maybe they don't eat out all the time. Maybe they can't afford to eat out all the time. Who knows? But one thing I know is that we have to sit back and look just like Walmart did and stand back and start looking at everything that's happening around us and saying, how can we reach these people? Is it offering a free meal? Maybe people come in. Maybe we get them touched. Let's read Matthew 14. Matthew 14, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, there is a desert place, and the time is now past. And the multitude away, send the multitude away, that they may go into the village and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye to them to eat. And they say unto him, we have but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looked up to heaven, and he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. They did all eat and were filled. They took up other fragments that remained, 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So Jesus was the original Oprah. He was able to bless and to give to the people, but he touched a nerve. Do you know that this miracle is the only miracle that is in all 4 Gospels? It is the only miracle in all 4 Gospels recorded by all 4. It is the only one. Why is that? I think that each disciple looked and seen thousands of people and said, hey, let's get out of here. Come on. We can't feed all these guys. And then they seen their Jesus. Just look at all these people. And he just took what they automatically thought they could not do. Not even question, not even thinking about feeding them. Not even thinking about we have something to feed them with. And they said, bring me what you got. Sometimes that's all it takes for God to do something great in your life. Just bring what you got. Pray, plan, and perform, right? Just bring what you got. And he takes care of the rest. And I think what hit them was they seen their hurt. They seen that these people were starving, not for food, but for someone just to care for them. Amen? How many times can you go through life and you remember the bosses that were really good to you? Really, I mean, those are the ones you care about and think about the most. The ones, the bosses and the supervisors and stuff that probably were the good people to you. And you may have had some bad bosses, some bad influences, or some people that did not really care much about you. Compassion, being cared for. Sometimes a gentle touch on the shoulder to a child and a simple saying, let's not do that right now. You realize it's not a good idea. We'll do a lot more than taking a belt and going crazy on them. Sometimes it happens better when you have the gentle touch. Like Jesus said, send the children to me. Real loving, and his disciples saying, get them out of here. You remember the compassion. And I think that's what the disciples said. I think each one of them, when they seen Jesus pray and Jesus blessed it, they all looked at each other like, yeah, right. It's just like KFC running out of chicken there. They're not going to feed all these people coming in through all the stores. And then they start giving it out and stuff. And they seen them eat. And they seen them get full. And they seen them get satisfied with what they ate. And I think that is the reason why it's in all 4 Gospels that it made such an impact. It wasn't a grown limb. It wasn't a person being raised from the dead. It wasn't anything so miraculous and impossible that we walk around praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues and shouting. It was just a simple humbleness of, can you believe we just did that? That we fed 5,000 people. And you know what? Each one of those people that sat there remembered a Jesus that had enough time to say, we care about your spiritual needs. We do. I want to make sure you're up there with me in heaven. but I want to make sure that I see that you need something right now that I can meet. I'm gonna make this happen. Let's all get some fish tacos out, pass them all around. And that's what we need to realize. I think as a church, our prayer corporately should be, what can we do? We can't do what Grace Church is doing. We can't do what Pastor Carey's church is doing or Second Baptist Church is doing. We're not them. That's not our identity. That's not our DNA right now. That's not who we are. But we can do something. And the little bit that we do, God's going to honor that. And whatever we do, it's going to help people. Because I think the biggest thing in each of us is that we care about people. You know, we care about people. There's no question. I mean, as much as we love God and as much as we love everything, we generally care about people. And at a time like this, when people are losing homes and people are losing cars and people are losing jobs, maybe an extra bag of groceries that they didn't have to pay for would be a blessing to them. Maybe something like that. Maybe a prepared meal on a set date or something could help them. Maybe you can make a meal and you know a family that's struggling, you just take it to them. There's so much more that I think that we can do, but we have to assess our situation first and then the church situation second. And we have to make sure where we are, where we can fit in for God. And we just have to be going forward. I think the reason those four disciples realized that that was a great miracle is because when they, you know, you get a big crowd together and they're all starving. Can you imagine if they ran out of fish, like about 500 people in? There'd be a mob scene coming after them. But the one thing that they seen was people that were generally being helped were generally grateful. They looked at them at that face. I mean, no matter what, they don't know what they were going through at their home and in their place, but for one minute, they could not worry about one thing, which was a meal, and sit there and relax and take in what Jesus had to say and see everything happening. I think the biggest thing that we all have to know and all have to understand is that we have the plan. We already know the good thing is we already know the end result. It's not like we got to figure it out. We all know what's going to happen. We all know how we're going to get to heaven. Eventually, either we're going to die or be raptured. Right? We don't have to wonder where we're going to be. Amen? If you're still wondering, we're going to pray for you afterwards. We have to realize we already know all the answers to this game. All we have to do is get into it. All we have to do is make ourselves jump in and make things happen. And I think that each one of us can bring something different and something powerful to this ministry. Amen? And I don't say it lightly saying that we're just going to stretch everybody out, but I think that if we put our corporate heads together and figure this out, we can come out with a better plan than Walmart did. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this evening. We ask you just to bless everyone that's in here. Father, I pray, Father, over this crowd right now, God, I pray for everyone that's in here, from the children to all the adults, God, that you would touch their lives, Father. Realize how they can make an operation impact in this community, in their home, Father, in their very neighborhood. Father, I pray that you will make, Father, what you need, Father, fishermen of men in this place, Father. I pray right now, God, that I feel that in my heart, that we are going to become fishermen of men, that no matter what, Lord, we're going to see people touched by God, and the kindness and the loveliness that we show, the more that we look like you, and the more people are going to identify that it's not the building, it's not the praise and worship, it's not the preaching, but it's the presence of God here in this house that draws them here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.